強いね。
The podcast。
Jane Adventures。
Everything seems so right, my baby girl, my Sarah。
Jane Adventures。
You are all I want to know, you hold my heart, so don't let go。
Of the share/listen/subscribe/download button, thanks。
Potter Who Cast。
The Sarah Jane Adventures Series 4 Episodes 5 and 6, Lost in Time and Goodbye Sarah Jane Smith.
Hello, I'm walking in here. You gotta do this. I'm disappearing. And now I'm back. I'm an evil version of you. Now I'm disappearing again. Hello. This is a season finale. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a very confusing set of episodes. I think we'll get to that now. Lost in Time. Are you lost in time? Because I'm not. The broadcast the 8th and the 9th of November 2010. Do you know what was top of the box office at this point?
November 2010?
Yeah.
The Thor?
It's not. I'll give you a clue. It's a movie starring two, at the time, very famous people. Right now, still famous, but one's much more famous. Directed by a recent Oscar nominee. Who has a new movie coming out this year, and it's kind of a forgotten kind of, it's a buddy comedy that's kind of been forgotten fairly recently.
Jesus, that did not help me in the slightest. The slightest.
I'll give you another clue.
I'm sorry. That was the most useless clue you could have given.
It's a movie that was released in cinemas and it starred actors. I'll give you another clue. It stars a recent Oscar winner as one of the two main roles.
Gee. 2010? A recent Oscar winner.
By recent, I mean they won an Oscar, like, last month.
Can you give me the year?
Last month. They won an Oscar last month. Or whatever month the Oscars are in, February, March, whenever. They won their Oscar this year for a movie that released last year.
Oh my God, they... How come I don't remember who won the Oscar this year? I saw it.
It's a guy who has a narrative, and that maybe played into why he won, but it was also in the performances. Everyone was like, that's going to win the Oscar for this category, like when the movie came out, or even before the movie came out.
I mean, it's RDJ, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about RDJ. Mm-hmm. So he was one of the two. They were big. But this guy is even bigger now.
No, the other person
Zach Galifianakis?
Yes.
Oh, is it due date?
It is due date. It is number one at the box office right now.
Wow. How did I forget RDJ won an Oscar? I guess in my head I was like thinking, you know, I was like, Will Smith? I was like, oh, I was like trying to really put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Could not tell you. Brendan Fraser? Couldn't be anyone from the Oscar 2023 because those people, by design, they were all like, almost everyone who won an Oscar in that ceremony was like, oh, this is the culmination of like a career or something.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Directed by Joss Agnew. Due date, of course. Due date, directed by Todd Phillips. And written by Rupert Leigh, who wrote The Gift last season. He's back. And his gift to us is this. In a sentence, this guy in a shop lures everyone into a trap. They don't get this like time doodah to save time or whatever. And they all go into the past and they come back with it and he just disappears. That's essentially the plot of Lost in Time. And a story that starts incredibly quickly to the point where it kind of just starts and like, oh, okay, we're in this one already. And it's one where I think it's better than The Gift, but I also think it is incredibly strange and it's incredibly baffling and it's incredibly kind of confusing in terms of a lot of the things that go on in this one. But I want to know what you think of Lost in Time.
I thought it was bad. For a very simple reason, which is the three stories are each boring in their own special ways. I mean, there's definitely a least boring one, which is the Clive story. It's the least boring one. But every time it cut back to Ronnie and I heard that the like ye old music loop in the back, I literally could feel my soul leaving my body. I was like, oh my God. And the thing is, I think the big reason is, so this guy is like, you guys got to get the Chronos thing. And they're like, what is the Chronos thing? He's like, not enough time to tell you. Also, there's a ticking clock, but I'm also going to tell you goodbye. And then only one of them finds the Chronos thing by the end of the part one. So part two, they're still looking for the fucking Chronos thing. And the whole time I'm like, why are you stopping to help this woman to do whatever? You have more important things to do, namely finding the fucking Chronos thing.
It is what feels to me like a story made of like really random moments, up to including the resolution being an old lady walks into the shop and like, by the way, I'm the granddaughter of this person, and here you go, here's the last piece you're looking for, I'm gonna leave now. It just feels like, you know, when you're a kid on the playground, you're like, and then this thing happens, 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 and I have a sword that stops all the same from happening, and this thing happens, and I fight your... It's like they sat down and were like, okay, we have three different stories. Do they connect? Not really. How do we introduce these? We'll have a guy appear and be like, by the way, I am a guardian of time. Hop into this portal while I stand around being like, oh no, and then I'll disappear at the end. It just feels so randomly put together, like they were like searching for things to throw in and be like, you know, throw everything in, and as a result, like I think splitting them up kind of helps, but also, as you were saying, the other two stories really suffer, especially the ghost one is so... One, we just did Erasmus Darkening, and like this is yes, the most Erasmus Darkening episode of all time, because
it is the most... It all takes place in that fucking corridor and that stair. Like, they're literally like, does anyone have an abandoned house you can film? And I mean, it feels like they shot that sequence over 3 days, like 2 days, and they had... It's like, oh, Elizabeth Sladen is three. We're gonna shoot a sequence where she goes into the spooky mansion and, oh, the ghosts are from the future. Wow. And so on and so forth. And that's kind of like the best way to describe it. And so on and so forth. I will say. I'm black, as many of you know. Mm-hmm. And if I was a kid and I time traveled to 1941 and I saw Jeremy's in front of me, I would not react as chill as Clyde did. Clyde was like, oh, I should time travel some more. It's like, no, your reaction should be, I need to get the fuck out of here right now. And I have the added layer of I'm Jewish. So in my head, I'm like, I gotta get out of here right now. And Clyde just being like, yeah, this is awesome. Try to travel to school. It's like, no. You are way too happy for the situation. It does help that they're fighting off against movie Nazis who are which are not threatening. So
we're good. He does get that you know line of like, you know, you're all pieces of shit basically, and you know you'll never win. And then he whips out his mobile phone. They play like that incredibly 2000s needle drop where he holds his phone out of them. It's like. It's just so strange. It feels like, to me, it felt very much like, you know, educational kids TV kind of stuff at times. I don't mean that as like, you know, a knock against it. I mean, like, it felt like a show that was made for, like, you know, Discovery Kids, where it's like, you know, every week we'll go into a time window. We'll learn about, you know, ancient England.
History.
Yeah. And we'll you know, there'll be a little fictionalized element in there, like, you know, we got to stop this guy. We'll learn all about this stuff, and we'll come back to the present, and then we'll debrief at the end. There'll be great educational stuff. It just doesn't feel like Sarah Jane at times. And as you're saying, like, the ghost stuff, it's just, get it out of there. It's not really working. It looks cheap. It looks like a student film. It really does not flow together. It just doesn't work for me. It feels like, in general, we're missing like 5 pages of script that were just tossed out, because so much stuff just happens without much of an explanation. And that's fine sometimes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery is good sometimes. But there's no, like, there's nothing in the wake of that stuff not being included that makes it worthwhile. There's nothing that, like, you know, like, they're trying to solve the mystery of, like, who is this mysterious shopkeeper? And I'll tell you. They never say on the show who he is, but Russell T. Davies has said who he thinks he is. He thinks he's a corsair, as mentioned in The Doctor's Wife, which is, you know, fair play.
He thinks he's who?
The corsair, who's like a time lord. No, in Doctor's Wife, when the doctor's like, oh, the corsair is here.
That's such a boring answer. I'm sorry.
It's the doctor moonification of mystery characters, just being like, oh, it's actually an incarnation of this guy.
I have something I want to read when we're talking about the next episode that really highlights just how sometimes I really wish there was somebody who, like, sitting right next to Russell T. Davis, and he has an idea, and somebody needs to go, like, lean in, you know, like that photo of somebody telling Bush about 9/11 and be like, sir, you are being a fucking nerd. Stop. nobody cares about the Corsair. Like, stop. Shut the fuck up.
But what we do care about is when the story is resolved by an old woman walking to a shop, being like, oh yeah, I'm the granddaughter of this character you just saw like 5 minutes ago.
He really went. Mr. Moffat, can I take a look at Blink just to have inspiration? Yes, secretly copies the ending.
But it just feels so strange to have that be the way they resolve this one, especially when the whole time window thing never really feels like a threat, even though the shopkeeper's like, it's going to consume the entire planet and then the world. And it's like, well, it's just kind of vibing in the corner right now, really.
You could have told them that before they left.
He wanted to be dramatic by being like, I lured you here because I'm a guardian of time. Now here's a window. Go in there. Fuck off. I'm going to send me with my power for like 10 minutes. Just kind of chilling out. That guy comes back, but the actor comes back for class. So, you know, we'll see him again. He plays a different character, obviously, but you know, I think like his character, I kind of like the idea of there's been a guy being like, you know, I'm like, you know, my whole job is I have to defend time and make sure time is, you know, progressing nicely. Mm-hmm. But like, they just kind of don't give him enough to add much intrigue. You know, they're missing like maybe one or two more kind of, you know, even just like minutes of screen time of him with everyone else, you know, maybe kind of like have him kind of interact with them while they're in the past or something, you know, because it just feels like he's off to the side, kind of just, you know, doing like YouTube reaction videos to whatever's going on in the present rather than, you know, oh no.
Was that the bite of 41?
It's just like,
Sarah Jane misses the key, and it's just that video of Doug Walker like, pointing at the cam of the screen going Biden.
but it is just like,
it does feel like that actually.
Yeah. Good point. He's just feels like vestigial in there, I think, because he's just hanging out like doing whatever. And it's maybe a problem they have, like these kind of characters where, like, you know, they're either like maybe over involved or they're just kind of not really quite there. I don't know. It's like, I think it's interesting more than it is good, but it's also barely interesting. I appreciate like the attempts to be like, you know, we're going to educate our viewers as well, but like, you know, here the Nazis, like the Last Crusade twist of like, you know, this woman's actually secretly in league with the Nazis. The whole thing of like, you know, trying to explain the Protestant Catholic divide in like 5 minutes in like a Sarah Jane Adventures story probably isn't going to help their case. But you know, they try to explain everything. I just think it's an interesting like historical approach that doesn't really work for me, but I appreciate the effort. That being said, I don't think I'm ever going to think about the Lost in Time again. Honestly, The Gift. I won't think of Lost in Time again for, I think, quite some time.
You might even say it is lost in time.
Mm-hmm. It's gone through a time window. And kind of just, yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much else to talk about with Lost in Time. If you don't have anything else.
I just want to say Chronostein is one of the options in my Doctor Who Monster of Viagra substitute quiz. this is an opportunity. You should have a game in the next quiz show special where it's like you just come in with like, and then the Arborstein. It's like, was that a Doctor Who monster or did I just have a stroke?
Anyway, is that medication or is that something that
medication or monster? Medication or monster is a good one.
Happened to that.
All right. Really high. I just really want to highlight the how much I love the movie Nazis. Mm-hmm. It's like, very well, Mr. Clyde, I shall explain my Nazi plan to you.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Motorola razor? Oh, no.
Mr. Clyde's first ever game was the Pinochle.
The first ever game being played on a Motorola was Snake.
Snake.
anyway, you know, we'll say goodbye to this, but also say goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith.
Sarah Jane, this is not like you.
Oh, stop talking and move.
Sarah Jane Smith.
So goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith was broadcast on the 15th and 16th of November, 2010. What's number one at the box office this week? It's a new movie. Or it was new to us. It's an action movie and it's a director's final movie.
It's hold on. Say that again so I can walk through that in my head.
I'll give you one more clue as well. It's an action movie, director's final movie, and it stars one of his regulars and a guy who is now up and coming.
Action movie. He was director's final movie.
One of his regulars is one of the roles.
So it's Tony Scott, right?
Yeah.
Is it Unstoppable?
It's Unstoppable. The train that wouldn't stop.
Unstoppable.
Good movie, Unstoppable. The train just won't stop. Directed by Joss Agnew and written by
That one is another case of like, Mr. DeBond, can I take a look at Speed just to get some ideas? Right? Yes. Secretly copies entire movie.
But this one was written by Roberts, Gareth Roberts, and Clayton Hickman, who is a former Doctor Who magazine editor and Gareth Roberts' writing partner. So, in a sentence, in this one, a lady appears out of nowhere named Ruby, who starts to take over Sarah Jane's life, and turns out she's an alien with an evil sentient stomach who eats emotions or whatever, I don't know, and Luke tricks people into thinking whatever, and then she absorbs a lot of emotion, and she kind of overloads herself, I don't know. This one is, to quote Peggle 2, Sarah Jane 2, and then Luke does
I appreciate that reference.
Mm-hmm. Do you appreciate this episode? Because I'm kind of mixed.
No, I don't. Yeah. I think from the moment that this woman arrived, first of all, Clyde is like, she's exactly like you. And it's like, how is she exactly like Sarah Jane? Because she does not act in any way, shape, or form like Sarah Jane. She doesn't even look like Sarah Jane. But it is also so obvious that Ruby White is connected to the dementia. That I'm like, how did nobody clock this? It feels stupid, you know? Like, it feels like, guys, are we going to talk about how this started when the fucking, like, this woman appeared?
Can I say...
We're not going to talk about that?
One of my big notes is Rani usually this, like, naive, because, like, she's so naive in this episode and doesn't feel like her at all.
Right.
Because she's, like, so willing to go on.
Are you telling me that she would not have any point being like, hold on a second. Stop right there. There's something weird going on here. Because this is a random woman who just arrived in the neighborhood. And then Sarah Jane started to do all these things that Sarah Jane has never done. Also, she's not that old. So if I see somebody of her age doing this, and I know that there are aliens who can fuck around with people's minds, my first instinct is to go, okay, there's an alien. It is likely the woman who just arrived 10 seconds ago.
It is... It's just strange. I will... Yeah. The one that... One of the things about this one, to me, that kind of feels like... And it's kind of conjecture on my part, so I don't want to be too in-depth in it. Like, so this is the last episode that airs before Liz Sladen, you know, passes away.
Yes.
You know. Trying to imagine how she felt making this one when it's called, like, Goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith, and it's about, you know, Sarah Jane's legacy and, you know, how not everyone can be like Sarah Jane. There's only one Sarah Jane. How, like, you know... how important she is to, like, the run of the universe, that, like, you know, if she were to be replaced, the replacement would probably be, like, you know, evil. It just kind of, it's a sad kind of thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't say like, but I kind of appreciate this one a little bit. There's a lot of stuff that is just kind of, it's silly, but I'm able to go along with it. The whole thing with Randy and stuff, I think that really hurts it. And also, we get a vision into a world where instead of Alexander Armstrong, Mr. Smith, we had Eddie Marsden as Mr. Smith. And that's the world I think I would prefer to have, because having Eddie Marsden as Mr. Smith would probably, I don't know. Because, like, Eddie Marsden has, like, three lines in this as her, like, PSP go that she takes out every 6 minutes. And, like, I keep coming back to, like, is you know, because as I was watching, I was like, is this one sticking the landing? Is this one, you know, gonna, not, like, you know, not elevate the season, but, like, is it gonna, like, you know, is it gonna kind of make it not be such a write-off, you know? And then they cut to a giant stomach in a basement in Cardiff somewhere, and it kind of goes off the rails a little bit, because then Luke comes back into it. Luke is, like, about to kill Clyde and Rani. Tommy Knight, actually, this is the best Tommy Knight's ever been. It may just be because when you're acting angry, it's kind of easy to act. K-9's on a Zoom call, and it's like, what are we doing here, guys? Because it just kind of becomes, like, a weird kind of, like, you know, it just kind of feels because, like, they start, yeah.
The problem is you can't, here's the thing. The idea of Sarah Jane has dementia is a really good one. It is something that a kid's show should be able to address. But the problem is they can't really do that because they don't want to have their main character have dementia. You know, I imagine Elizabeth Sladen probably doesn't like that idea too. So I'm not saying that she was like, we gotta, you know, wrap this up ASAP. And then she's back to normal. Like, I don't think that was her, that ever went through her mind. I do think that went through the writer's minds of being like, you know what? I think we need to, like, bring her back to normal as soon as possible. And that requires making this whole thing about, I'm sure this woman is a very capable actress, and she could probably act circles around me. If we were in an acting competition, she would win. She would rub my face against the dirt. But this woman who's playing Ruby White feels so much like we have Catherine Tate at home. Tate from Wish. Yeah, it really does feel Catherine Tate from Wish, her performance at times. And so then we have the story where she's like, oh, am I, like, losing my mind? Am I suffering from dementia? And then meanwhile, we have her being like, oh, Sarah Jane Smith, I was eating your memories because I eat thrills. You know, like, it's so insane.
I will say this is not the last time you'll see Julie Graham, because almost... almost 10 years later, she comes back. Do you want to guess what she's in?
She's in almost 10 years later?
Yeah.
Is she in series 12?
She is one of the survivors in Ascension of the Cybermen, Timeless Children. She's one of the people, they go off with, like, you know, like two other people. She's like one of the people they end up going off with. Speaking of returns and departures, this is, as of this year, as far as I know, the last televised Doctor Who appearance of K-9. Because
wow, in a Zoom screen?
In a Zoom screen, because after this, you know, Bob Baker's like, I want to make K-9 Timequake, K-9 versus Omega, we're going to do that, and then obviously that never happens. He's in like one BBC stargazing show with Dara Brian, but that's obviously not like, you know, Doctor Who, that's just like K-9, the prop being used in like a stargazing show. But as far as I know, this is it for K-9 on screen.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it is. It's just like, we need to rescue him from whatever safe the estate has set up. We need to, like, heist the K-9 rights. And like, there's bits where, like, I think it's effective, like when Sarah Jane gives Kyle a gun and it's like, you know, we gotta defend ourselves, and Ryan's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that, I think that scene is, like, so scary. And it works. Bits that don't work for me, stuff like the ending speech being like one sentence and then it's like boom, credits. That feels so strange.
Yeah, there's a lot of adventure out there, but it's so here. Okay, bye.
We're going away. Especially when like series 3 had like a really long speech about, you know, like the Brigadier driving off in his car, and it's like, well, you know, this is an episode about how Sarah Jane needs to be around and how you, like, you know, how important she is, and you're giving her like one sentence to be like, you know, bye-bye. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just...
Go on.
There's just so much of it that just feels like... Because as I'm talking right now, because I have my little ranking written out here as well, as we're talking right now, I'm like mentally shifting like half of these around, because none of these episodes have felt like, you know, good. None of them have been like, you know, oh, I'd love to watch that again. They've all been like, you know, okay, we watched this, and I guess if I'm going to like do another rewatch of like all this stuff, I'll watch them again, but like, I wouldn't go and stick this on again, just, you know, out of interest. Even though it includes a line to Truman the Astrologer, that to be the first thing they pull for, like, you know, all the mysterious things going on, be like, you know, Truman the Astrologer, he operated out of this area. Which, by the way, thank God someone fucking noticed that there's weird stuff going on in this place. Be like, you know,
it has the same energy as 15, the 15th Doctor bringing up Maverick Chen in the list of the things that Maverick Chen. It's like, really? That's the one you. That's the pull. That's the continuity pull. Okay.
Right. Not even Grantham can get in there. But it's like, it's just like, it's the kind of story we've seen before, you know, all this thing, like, you know, being overwhelmed with a thing this creature needs, this creature being a giant stomach, which then explodes. There's a weird, like, we live in like a post-Gunge stuff world, and obviously there's a lot of stuff going on these days about, you know, like, the amount of Gunge that's used in like different TV shows. Mm-hmm. But like, we don't need Gunge in here as well, there's too much Gunge. It's just like, yeah, it's just a story that kind of happens, and it has its own theme, has its own idea, and then it kind of just deviates from that a lot, and kind of throws a lot of unnecessary kind of spanners in the works with regards to like how Rani's treated, how Luke's treated. Like, Luke, I understand, I think Tommy Knight is really good in this, but Luke's character in this kind of, you know, it doesn't quite work for me, especially when Luke's been so absent. I think it's good that he's back for this kind of story, but like, I don't know, it just feels kind of thrown together in a way sometimes that doesn't quite land for me, but I do think it's kind of stronger than what some of the things we had before this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also think that something that hurts this episode is the fact that, like, I'm trying to segue into this. I want to read this little bit from, there's this website called, I don't know what it's called, ShannonSullivan.com, but they have a lot of good information about the making of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, you know, share this little bit that I think highlights what I was talking about regarding Russell T. Davis sometimes being too much of a nerd for his own good.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the original finale was intended to be The Web of Lies by script editor Gary Russell. It saw the return of one of Sarah Jane's most memorable Doctor Who nemesis, the giant spiders of Metabellis 3, which had originally appeared in 1974 as the Planet of the Spiders. So then it lists out what the plot was going to be, and then Russell concluded that his story was not working out, and so Roberts and Hickman were asked to provide their take on the same basic concept, which became a story called Servant of the Spiders, still brings up the spiders, still has the spiders do a little bit of dementia magic and some of that stuff. As with The Web of Lies, however, the production team was dissatisfied with Servant of the Spiders. Notably, executive producer Russell T. Davis found himself increasingly concerned about the unlikelihood of the Bannerman Road gang successfully opposing the giant spiders who had forced the regeneration of the Third Doctor. What the fuck are you... If somebody said that to me in real life, I would slam my fist on the table like, what are you talking about? You're talking nonsense. This is nonsense. None of what you just said made sense. What are you talking about? I don't imagine anyone in 2010 being like, excuse me, Mr. Russell T. Davis, I find this finale very unlikely because the giant spiders forced the regeneration of the Third Doctor. It's like, that doesn't, we don't think about that when, like, the Daleks have been behind a many a regeneration and they still do silly shit. I don't understand this reasoning. It's so insane.
They're like the feet of the Bane, which are like giant fucking octopuses. Like, you know, so it's not like they don't have a presence. I don't know. I just think it's a bit kind of whatever. I don't know. It's not really interesting. As I said, Eddie Marsden voices a PSB Go for like 5 minutes.
That's it?
That's it. I don't know if you have a ranking. I have a ranking. I'm currently changing.
I have a ranking.
Okay. What is your sixth six?
Can you give me just a moment so I can find my ranking in my tabs? I have a bunch of tabs open to Wizards versus Aliens for some reason.
What we got to talk about as well is our general thoughts on the season, which are not very good. I think we're
weirdly juiceless. You know, yeah. I think the departure of Luke Smith affected them more than they think they did.
Mm-hmm.
It really felt like, I'm trying to be like, was there ever like a fucking, you know, what was the best Sarah Jane season so far? And I think maybe 3 is the best one, right?
I'd say 1, really. I think the first season kind of...
I'd probably say 2.
One of the other ones is our answer.
The other ones. Not this one.
Yeah, I think part of the problem might be because they're filming season 5 back-to-back with this as well. So, like, you know, maybe they're kind of caught short at times with, you know, the workload. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really felt weirdly juiceless. My ranking, I'll tell you right now, I think the last one, I think it'll be The Vault of Secrets.
Same.
Yeah, just because I'm looking at the list and I'm like, this is the one I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah. It's just not interesting and kind of, there's nothing going on really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my number 6 as well.
My number 5 is going to be Death of the Doctor. My number 5 is going to be Goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith. I'm going to save Death of the Doctor for my number four.
Mm-hmm.
Then my number three is Lost in Time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is The Nightmare Man.
Mm.
And number one is The Empty Planet.
I think, looking at this, I need to reshuffle a little bit. So, six, Flot of Secrets. I'm going to say number five is going to be Death of the Doctor for me, because I just think that kind of that has an idea and it kind of squanders it a little bit. And it kind of doesn't really recover. Number four for me, I'm going to say Lost in Time, because there was a moment where I was like, this maybe has juice, and then it kind of fell off. And I was like, this doesn't really have juice anymore. Number three, I'm going to say The Nightmare Man. It's not one that I was as strong on as you, but it's also one where, with, like, you know, distance, I'm like, that was probably decent enough. Now we come to one and two. Now, one and two... Yeah, I'm gonna swap them. Number two, Goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith. Number one, Empty Planet. I just think Empty Planet Part One is the high point of this
entire season. Yes, it is probably, until that kid shows up, I think it's firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. It's just so effective, and then it kind of Gavin's its way down to whatever. But that is our last, full season of Sarah Jane Adventures, because obviously Liz Sladen sadly passes away while they're making series five. So they only have three stories finished at that point. It's gonna be sad finishing off this, I think. But what we have coming up next is we're gonna have, obviously, pretty soon, get your Santa Claus hats and your Christmas dinners ready, because it's the Christmas Carol, a Christmas Carol, you might say. And after that, then it's series six of Doctor Who. Series six, part one, really, because after that we have Miracle Day, which I do think we should double up Miracle Day, because Miracle Day, one, that's only five episodes we need to do, and two, those episodes will not, you know, we can't do 10 episodes on that, because some of those episodes do not have even 10 minutes worth of stuff happening.
What if we, instead of doubling up, we just do one full episode talking about the, because it's Miracle Day, right? So one day, it's not, that's not what happens, but but it's one day, so there's one episode and you listen to it in a day. Again, that's not what happens in the thing. I know that
we could do one episode of Miracle Day. We have to watch 10 hours of television and then condense into maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours of chat.
That might be the second worst idea I've ever had, right before my idea for a 420 episode, which I think we should do next year, which is just like you just hear a huge bong rip and then we have to explain Faction Paradox within 15 minutes. Just like we're like absolutely going like insane in our minds, and we're like, Faction Paradox, David Lynch, and then that's a joke. Just trying to explain that thing.
But yeah, I guess that's about it. Yeah, I don't know. Christmas Carol next, ho ho ho, and all that. And then series six, which I'm sure will be a very chill series to discuss that won't bring back memories of 2011. There's gonna be so much thing of just remembering, because those episodes I remember so vividly, watching them in real time and discussing them in real time. And there'll probably be guests that reflect my life when those episodes came out, because that's about when I met one or two of the people you've heard on this show multiple times before. Their names rhyme with Meteor and Flam. So we'll see you for a Christmas Carol. Maybe not next week. Maybe next week.
Maybe Christmas in July.
Christmas in July, maybe. This will be coming out in June. I think we're recording this in April, for what it's worth.
Yes.
I recently I've learned how to schedule things. So I have a lot of tweets or posts, as they call now. Yeah, scheduled.
By the time we record our next episode, we'll have seen the new season of Doctor Who.
We will, and
wow,
yeah, that'll be crazy, because by the time that comes out, the new season will be over.
I'm gonna call it here. Just gonna throw it out. The Stephen Moffat episode is gonna suck. I don't think this is real, but I just think it's going to be really funny if that does happen.
I think this is coming out after the episode comes out, or maybe, yeah, it's coming out after the episode comes out. So I'm going to predict that we're all going to have a good time, and it'll be a nice summer, and we'll all have plenty of things to be happy about in the future. Yeah, so goodbye, Sarah Jane Smith, and goodbye.
See you in a year.
See you in, actually, less, no, was it a year? Yeah, it'll be next year.
See you in a year.
See you sometime.
Let me be stupid. Let me be happy. And
goodbye.
Next time on Pod Tour, Who Cast?
What's so special about Christmas?
I despise Christmas.
It's Christmas Eve. We're asking for one moment of kindness.
Then ask Father Christmas.
Time can be rewritten.
People can't.
Whatever happens tonight, remember, you brought it on yourself.
Who are you?
I'm a ghost of Christmas past.